Hello, thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Wise Content Creates Wealth. You have heard that content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. This podcast is about understanding how you can make and utilize wise content to improve your financial success and your company's bottom line. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, and I am a marketing technology expert who has built a multi-million dollar company, and I'm also an award-winning content producer myself. My company is Galileo Tech Media, a leader in providing wise content, which is content that incorporates search science, behavioral science, AI, data, and process to make content that converts better and gets better rankings. Since 2014, we have provided a suite of global clients wise content services, helping get maximum visibility in organic search, social media presence, and effectiveness in marketing conversions. Besides this podcast, we also run monthly webinars where we ask leaders, scientists, and psychologists and others to expound in depth about subjects related to wise content. Read more about us at GalileoTechMedia.com and sign up for an informative newsletter that will let you know about our upcoming episodes and webinars. Our agenda today is using AI and data and platforms to research, plan, and craft your content. We'll be featuring the Market Muse platform. But first, I'm going to tell you a little about something that I most recently started using, and it's called Google Question Hub. In 2018, Google created this thing called the Google Question Hub, but it was only available to content marketers in Nigeria, India, and Indonesia, and it's been sort of on the down low for a while. But in January this year, Google opened up Question Hub in the United States, and it's providing significant opportunities for content marketers. Content marketing relies heavily on your ability to answer your customers' most pressing questions. Well, Google Question Hub can allow you to find, uncover hidden gem keywords and content opportunities and questions that are not being answered. So that's what Question Hub does. It identifies questions that lack answers in Google search results. So it identifies the information gaps in Google search results from Google. I think this is a very smart tactic on Google because it basically is being transparent to saying, well, we get a lot of these questions that there's no answers for. So they've offered this opportunity to help build the value of their search engine, but it's also a great opportunity for businesses and marketers to solve consumer needs. And they have various ways to figure out these unanswered questions, but they're all based upon queries from real people. And this may include things like misspellings and unclear questions. I saw one recently that was asking for something that whether there was going to be store openings in 2029. Well, obviously they meant 2021, but so that was an incorrect question. It's probably useless right now, but you can optimize well ahead for it. So you can use keywords, and it'll generate up to 100 unanswered questions for each of your keywords that you put in. And it allows you to actually save these questions and exports them. It connects to your Google Search Console, and it's a way to be verified. And then it bring context relevant stuff to what questions they're going to bring to you. So you basically go on there, you launch the Question Hub. It's at questionhub.google.com. You select your Google account to continue. You connect your Search Console. Then you click on something called Add Questions. You search your keywords and topics, and then you can click Add to any of the keywords or topics that show up, and it'll then produce a bunch of questions for you that don't have adequate answers as far as Google is concerned. And then you can actually go and decide that some of these are worthwhile. You can save these questions. You can go and answer them on your site. Take the link that you have created for the answer to those questions and go back into Question Hubs, and you can submit your link as the answer for that question. And then they have a performance tab that shows all the submitted URLs that you provide and how they've been formed. Have they gotten click-throughs? Have they showed up for the questions? So you can see the performance specifically in relevance to these to the question hub scenario. So I think our guest today, Jeff Coyle and Market Muse, would call this form, this this application, part of answer engine optimization. And if you search for it, they're number one for that. So I think that they probably invented that term, which is always a good thing to do. Like I invented wise content. So Jeff is the co-founder and chief product officer for Market Muse, where he is focused on helping content marketers, search engine marketers, agencies, and publishers build topical authority, improve content quality, and turn semantic research into actionable insights. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how are you doing? That's awesome to load up with the questions hub. But one really cool thing, I mean, two things I think that are the coolest about the questions hub. One is trying to figure out how they're deciding that something was unanswered. Right? Yeah, that's something that I'm in the process of doing. And the other thing is, if you are in Questions Hub, you can say, actually, Google, this is answered. And you can send them a link. It could be yours. It could be something else that you feel does. And that's adding to their feedback loop as well. So who knows how this is going to manifest in the future. But those two things are most intriguing for me. And, you know, one part of our solution is to identify questions that if you weave them in elegantly, not just like an FAQ, but if you weave them into your article or your content item, it exhibits signals that you are an expert, right? All so right. If you naturally answer them, and what Google is really trying to figure out right now is the difference between naturally and elegantly answering the question versus explicitly calling out the question answer pair, which you can mark up with schema, with fact schema, FAQ, and have a different result. And you can actually repurpose that content, do it both ways. And yeah, so there's so many different ways to make sure that you're answering these questions. And this is just a completely different approach. That I'm very excited is now in English and covering, you know, everyone where it was kind of a skunk works operation in Indonesia and Nigeria. And Hindu, I think it was in the Hindu language as well. But yeah, very exciting. And who knows how it's going to manifest. But I've got some.
I got a few
ideas, I can tell you, after a few beers.
Yeah. Well, you know, there we go. We were talking about IPAs earlier. You know, I have a motel resort. I tried it out recently, and I have a motel resort in the mountains of the Smoky Mountains. Mm-hmm. And there was actually some relevant questions there that would work. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it for SEO, and it was like nothing. So, you know, it seems like SEO people going after and answered all the questions.
Right.
But so what you know, you sort of introduced a little bit of Market Muse. Why don't you give us the sort of the elevator pitch, the broad view of what Market Muse is?
Sure. So Market Muse is the content intelligence platform that sets the standard for content quality. And so what we do is we're focused on giving insights that would enable you to, you know what content you need to create, what content you need to update, what content you've already written and published and it's fine and just needs to have better integration amongst itself and to, you know, connect like content that, you know, tells the story that you're an expert. But we also go all the way down to the last mile. We build content briefs using artificial intelligence. So we actually build outlines for writers. We tell you how you can improve a content item that may not be comprehensive or where the world has changed and the intent has changed and your page kind of is a little outdated and needs a little sprucing up. We're also on the forefront, one of two businesses who have built technology that is focused on generation and natural language generation. And we build content drafts that meet specific guidelines of writers' briefs. So we can give you inspiration all the way down to, you know, paragraphs of text that you can use to really fast track your content and make sure that you can spend your writer's time on writing and editing. And not just doing research, because what I want is my subject matter experts to be actually putting pen to paper and exhibiting that expertise. And what my goal is to get everything I can in those writers' hands so they can be fast and really focused on their expertise.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack here. So
right.
you're the co-founder. So you obviously was there at the mm-hmm. ideation for this. How did you get? What was your journey here?
Oh gosh, you know, and I've been May 1st will be 22 years. Scary as it might sound, that I've been focused on, you know, text search. I went to Georgia Tech for computer science and usability theory, and I was doing work on text search then, intranet search, like early stage things, but also on user interfaces and user interface software. I started at my first company, a startup called Knowledge Storm, and we were selling leads to software companies based on content. By the way, no one had content on the web. I mean, we were trying to convince companies like IBM to actually give us content, to actually write content, because all they had was white papers and brochureware, et cetera. So in that journey, I was generating millions of leads per month and selling them to technology companies based on syndicating their content marketing efforts of the day, which was mostly white papers and such. And we were acquired in 2007 by TechTarget, who's a major publisher in B2B, also lead gen intent data. At that point, I had led a team of people focused on conversion rate optimization, A/B multivariate testing, organic search engine optimization, paid, you know, anything under the sun that would lead to us generating more leads, right? When we were bought by TechTarget, they had an editorial team, a great one, award-winning. And, you know, my first hope was I was just going to hand them all this data and they were going to be like, yeah, this is great. But it didn't work that way. Writers don't like to be given a list of, you know, a word and say, hey, go do this. They're like, what do you know? I've been writing about this topic for 10 years. How could you possibly help me? And so in that time, I really analyzed all these manual editorial processes and writer processes, and they were awfully painful. I mean, one topic modeling process to basically say, hey, let's research this concept was taking over 30 hours to do. And at the end of my time at TechTarget, I met my co-founder, and he had built the original technology behind MarketMuse, which we have two patents on, which basically analyzes tens of hundreds of millions of content items that we think are relevant to a topic. And it separates what is and isn't written by an expert. And it builds out a model that says, if I'm going to cover that topic comprehensively, how would I do that? What are the things that I would naturally include if I really was an expert? And then now we've applied that to every one of those writers' workflows, whether it's updating a page or looking at a million page site and finding things to do.
So I want to come back to that. And we're going to take a break right now.
Sure.
And we'll finish that story when we get back. Sure. Okay, cool.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Wise Content Creates Wealth podcast. And my guest, Jeff Coyle of Market Muse. So, Jeff, you were saying you and your co-founder got together, invented this great technology he had done. You added your insights and you sort of launched. When did you launch and how was it received and how fast did you grow?
It was really a... We were way ahead of the game, I'd say. When I started with us full time, and I was doing some advisory stuff in my transition, we only had a few early evangelist customers, paying, maybe $100 here and there. But in September of 2015, and he had been working on this for over a year with a scientific advisor as well, immediately in that first quarter. I was selling and, bringing the, how to get it done, not just what it is, what the software was, how to get things done, what the workflows are. And it was an immediate, growth trajectory. I remember we brought in in that first fall, we brought in a $60,000 annual agreement. And it was just like, oh, whoa, this is a thing. Okay. this isn't going to be $169 a month. And really what we did was we pushed against that enterprise or mid-market to small enterprise to enterprise persona in the early phases of us building the product, where it was very sales-led growth. You weren't able to go on and get a trial. You weren't able to get a demo. It was very much a effort of us setting everything up perfectly after you purchased, right? Mm-hmm. And the earliest version of the software was really just that page level, almost editor optimization experience. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have anything else. Everything else we delivered was services, but we had the technology to do it. Right. And I remember we built the first automated content plan and it was a big old ugly spreadsheet, right? But I remember we did our first content inventory for a major publisher who's three letters, who you all know. And it was a massive database and it was the ugliest thing you've ever seen. I think it was like 71 million word page combinations, all in a huge, table. And then over time, we baked that into the product. And we hired an amazing technology lead in Noah Davis, really allowed us to level up. We improved our expertise on sales and on marketing and just kept hiring people better than us at specific tasks and build the company to where it is now, tipping on 50 people, with thousands and thousands of customers worldwide. So,
and you now have a free trial. I signed up for it. So you actually go in and it's kind of cute. It's fairly straightforward to get in there, start editing some content.
That's the thing. I want everyone. And so what's coming, by the way, this is a hot tip, exclusive. What's coming is Market Muse. There will be a version of Market Muse that's free forever.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that is going to be a fun day because everyone who has, kind of held the line, that workflow, the workflow of updating content, my goal is I want everyone in the world to be able to experience that with Market Muse, no matter what, whether they've got a buck in their pocket or they got $1 million in their pocket. And that's going to happen this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I imagine you you must have some real insights in what is the state of content these days. Content's our business. What do you think the state of content is these days?
It's wild. You know, there's still this unfortunate current of people who believe that it isn't hard and that it doesn't require a lot of investment, and that there's tricks. And those folks are just dying over time, because the people who are investing in high quality, comprehensive content, expertise, focusing on expertise and not just focusing on these kind of quick wins, are the ones that are winning with longevity. Mm-hmm. And you see that. And my take is, there is publishers who are amazing. There's technology companies and other types of companies who are becoming publishers because they can see the return on investment of being thought leaders, but not just early stage awareness content, mm-hmm. writing content across the buyer journey and even post-purchase and nurturing and champion development, you know, content that your customers want to read that makes them advocates, right? And so with real companies who are great publishers are considering the whole journey, and they're also considering people with different levels of understanding. And you can write a great definition for a word for a noob, and you can write one for an expert. And great publishers are realizing that it's not about one word, one page. It is about one concept, many clusters of content. And the people who aren't and are trying to get by, they've on top of a fragile glass house, you know, they're crashing through the bottom. And a lot of that is happening right now in the affiliate industry, where people had written thin content for purposes of getting affiliate links by listening to people who are advising on content only from that lens, and they're dropping like flies. You know, to do that well is going to take expertise and investment.
Yeah, and you know, in the SEO space, I see that, you know, what you're talking about constantly. Yeah, you know, we do a lot in multi-location. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know how many huge corporations out there have a site and they got lots of, you know, content and things, but they have when they treat their locations, they treat them like they're just supposed to be a little database entry. So, you know, it's a store locator. You come up and you got an address and that's it, mm-hmm. right? And they're missing the content that they need to have around that, you know, and real in-depth content to compete, people can, you know, get people locally to really, you know, believe in them and believe in the opportunities is they're just not doing it. You know?
Yeah. And that space is very frustrating. I would say for someone who's done it, and it's not just because maybe they don't have anything, but sometimes they try to solve that problem with Mad Libs style content. Mm-hmm. And there is entire businesses based on some of these types of solutions, and they don't have any longevity. I mean, a major chain of restaurants, I did not win this business. So I'm even more a little frustrated. They went with a provider who basically took every one of their locations pages for their retail outlets for their product, and they sold them these almost incoherent blobs of text plop on every one of them.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm like, you paid $100,000 for that, you know? But that is the space local, because those businesses tend to believe in quick fixes, or they're very immature. They're not thinking critically. They don't have that experience. Those are often big launchers and publishers of low quality content. The people who are doing local well, though, are like stratospheres above. And, you know, local done well is like symphonic. I mean, it really is. So it's a great thing on the top end. It's painful to watch some of these folks on the bottom end. And, you know, whether it's a national law firm who just hasn't got it yet, or if it's, you know, like a retail business or, you know, food place, where they don't realize if they showed the world that they knew what it truly meant to do business in that location, they would own it, and they don't want to invest. They don't want to invest at that level. That's all they have to do, and you can crush it.
No, I, you know, I get that. And that's, you know, that was my, that, you know, we had to do this manually in, you know, 2019, you know, we did 40,000 pieces of local content for a large hotel chain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even back then, as far, you know, for several years, I've been saying, you know, this has got to be more, there's got to be machine language, AI, you know, and I was so busy. We were actually so busy doing that right. It took COVID, right, for me to have the time, unfortunately, but fortunately in some ways, to actually have the time to sit back and think about, you know, how am I going to reapproach that when things pick back up on a huge scale again to deal with it. And that's why, that's really the synthesis of why this podcast exists.
That's cool.
But when we come back, I want us to delve deeper into this scaling, aspect of content production, because I think you have a lot of insights and your tool can do a lot of help there.
Awesome.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy, back with the Wise Content Creates Wealth podcast, and my guest, Jeff Coyle of Market Muse. So we were talking about scaling content, right? So how do you find content optimization opportunities in extremely large inventory?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different. So the way I like to think about content planning is most plans fit into one of four buckets. Quick wins. So it's what can I do today that is going to have the biggest impact on the bottom line for me, right? Those are the fun ones. Those are the ones you put points on the board. People love you forever. Mm-hmm. But then realistically in businesses, you've got, goals and plans. Like, I want to own this topic. I want to win in this space. You also have competitive risks or other types of risks. Maybe you have a page that gets 80% of the traffic on your site. That's super risky situation. How do you fix that and fortify that infrastructure? Or maybe you have a competitor or a new competitor who's just eaten your lunch with their content. How do you address those? And then the last one I'd say is really it's organizational, right? You take orders. It's sad, but a lot of marketing services organizations, the CEO says, hey, go write this article, or product sent me these 9 requests. And, you know, you're just having to fill orders. Well, for businesses like that, we're trying to make sure that they put their best foot forward with what they are ordered to do. And then next time the budget comes around, they're saying, hey, I put our best foot forward. I grew and I didn't even get to tell you what to do. And so maybe I'm going to get more next time. But finding optimization opportunities in a huge inventory is about knowing the data points that signify one of the outputs that could get into one of those plans. I'll use quick wins as an easy one, right? Mm-hmm. If I can identify, and we have the world's only metric for topic authority, right? You know, other than the search engines, who measure authoritativeness, expertise, and trust, and other off-page power signals. And we're able to measure that and say, how much of an authority are you on this topic, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are an authority on a topic, and the page you wrote, the most dominant page, is not up to date, it's not comprehensive, it's maybe missing answering some of those important questions, mm-hmm. right? That's like T-ball, right? Because I've got the power. I've told the world I am an authority on this. I've got some stuff maybe on adjacent terms, but on this specific one, I didn't hit it out of the park. But that is the weighted bat of content optimization. I can tell you with extraordinary levels of confidence that if I make that page better, make it up to date, make it more mm-hmm. comprehensive, make it exhibit those signals of expertise, make it maybe a higher production value generally. My predictability for growth is very high. And that's, you know, that's what we built our business on, is that concept, is being able to pick out those winners. And then also put together a plan that says, hey, you're not there yet. You have no power here. Here's directionally how much investment you're going to need to make to start putting points on the board, which is more the reality for someone with a new site or someone with an aspirational goal on a topic, right? So,
you know, I have a lot of clients. We like to start with a quick win. So you would actually be a good product to really improve those pages, to go from page 2 to top 5, right?
Yeah, the old SEO trick,
right?
Was the striking distance.
Yeah.
Or you look at the stuff that's on page 2, you go tell them to update it. Some of them go on the page 1, some of them don't. Okay. There's a little bit of a method behind that madness, but imagine if you had a much more predictive metric for what they were supposed to do mm-hmm. and how impactful and how much upside advantage there was. Those two things make striking distance plans actually deadly.
Yeah. Well,
that's my focus. Yeah.
Right. It's nice because, I mean, you actually expand where that page is getting. You're expanding the questions that it's showing up from. Yep. So it's not just the low-hanging fruit for the keywords. I think it's a way to really take a powerful seed and make it, you know, fertilize it so it grows even larger.
Yeah. Or make a decision that page shouldn't, which we reference that. I reference that as intent mismatch, right? Where I've got a page that ranks 10th in organic search, but it doesn't answer that question. It doesn't solve that intent, okay? So I've got to make a decision, you know, the game time decision, and say, should I expand this page to answer that, or should I do that with a new page and link it to this one in that cluster, right? And so making that decision the right way every time has an outsized advantage. And that's where the money's made.
So, you know, you're talking about new pages, and I guess you're talking about new topics. How do you pick topics and go deep into them when you're a network of sites covering a lot of ground?
Right. I mean, so one interesting thing that we do is you can bring your own keywords if you want, the stuff you want, right? And we'll evaluate your authority and your competitive advantage and how hard it's going to be. So if you've written your entire site and it's all about beer, right? And you're like, I want to go be about, you know, Siberian husky dogs. And we're going to be like, whoa, you've got no authority there. You've got a lot of work to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we can figure it out. It's just, there's an investment level that'll get you there. And it may be a very big one. But the other piece of it is you know, finding those gaps. So if you do cover one thing and another thing, what are the connective tissue of those topics? Those would be natural fits. Or you are about some things and you want to be more about some other things. There's a great example I always give is worked with a B2B technology company that you'd know if I said the brand. They had two major product lines. One was on a networking concept. The other one was on a file transfer concept. And they were like, our goal as a marketing org is to increase traffic to each of these sections by 40%. And our technology said, well, the one, you're going to have to write between 120 and 160 articles. The other one, you can knock this out by updating about 15 and writing about 40. They shelved the 150. They put the money in the easy win, knocked it out. But they made a business decision based on this. I'm going to put points on the board quick, and then maybe I'd be able to invest in that larger effort. Well, you may make a different business decision, but let's say you already have articles about a whole bunch of different things. That's when it gets a little bit more nuanced. You've got to figure out, do you need bridge content? You need 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? You've got A and level six. You may need 3 or 4 levels of bridging in order to not be I always just say teeth without a mouth, right? You've got to basically build out those pillar content items and those central parts of your hubs when maybe you just have a bunch of spokes. So there's a lot of different situations, but what we do is to surface them and give you easy paths. And that's what we do that nobody really can do, where they're just kind of guessing or doing some of the parlor trick stuff like, hey, let's look at your page 2. When, yeah. By the way, don't work. It works directionally. It's better than nothing. Right. However, go look at your favorite data point and go look at your attempts at content and how often are you right? Mm-hmm. That we call that content efficiency. So how many articles did you publish versus how many of them were successful, whatever your KPI is, right? And then how many times do you update content and how often does it grow? If that number is real low, then question the data point you're using. What that also does is it changes the true cost of content. Because if you think content costs $100 a page, right?
Yeah.
And you only hit with 1 out of 10, it's actually costing your business $1,000 a page.
Yeah.
What if you were hitting on 4 out of 10? Could you invest $200 a page then and get better content? Could you invest $500 if you knew that it was going to be more successful more of the time? And that's when the aha moments come on when you're working with us. And that's really the difference in, guessing and rolling dice. And not guessing. And I hate guessing. Guessing's no fun.
So first I'm going to say, Siberian Husky would be a great name for a beer.
that's a good point. That actually could be an angle shot there to get in. Yeah, exactly.
But, you talk about the one where they shelved, where they had to do a lot of content. And then, they took the one that was short. But sometimes you got to do a lot of content, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, how can you 10 times your content production to keep the quality?
Yeah, and I mean, one thing is you 10 times your production. One of the big paths that we take is, I'll give you a couple of ways. One is smart repurposing. Right, where you may be able to, you may be missing out on some personas who like to consume content in other media or other forms or other structures. Mm-hmm. You may have some, so that's one way, it's great repurposing strategies. You can also, there's repurposing with different angular movements, like I can take a generalist content item and I can repurpose it for a particular target industry and make it fresh. And you can actually get more out the door if you follow these things and build out kind of clusters of repurposed content. Audio or transcription is a great way to get more out the door as well. Rich media optimization. And then last, the most fundamental one is by adopting a content brief strategy. If you don't have a single source of truth for content that you create, you're likely losing speed in your workflow. Most commonly, the way that loses speed or efficiency is where you're getting your writer and your person who ordered the writing aren't connected in the vision for the piece. So they spend money on building some sort of thin proposal. The writer goes and writes. It comes back, and then it goes through an editing cycle or two editing cycles, or it never actually gets published because it didn't meet expectations. So finding those misalignment-based situations are big, and then building adopting a briefing single source of truth solution is typically a way to 30 to 40% your efficiency or production volume.
Cool. So, you know, you talked about intent, and we only have a minute left in this segment. I don't know if you can answer it in a minute, but how do you classify large content inventories by intent?
Oh, wow. So two ways. One is there's true intent, and one there's Google's favored intent. So Google, and then there's the explicit nature or the fracture of intent. God, that's a lot of words. But basically, if something's really, it's really obvious what the answer is or the best solution is, that's explicit intent. How do you get bees out of your garage, right? It's only one thing you're looking for. It's solutions that get bees out of my garage. But if I just type garage door, there's fractured intent. I might be looking for pictures of garage doors. I might be looking to buy one. I might be looking for what it is for some reason because I don't know what a garage door is. You know, so intent is the what Google has to decide is what is their favored intent and do they understand that it is explicit? When it's not explicit, they show pages that appeal to different intents. And so in a large scale inventory, the best you can do is try to guess what types of intents the pages that you've written attack for the topics that you are tracking and appealing for. And we break them down into simple knowledge or awareness, comparison, more purchase intent or commercial intent, and then like website query. Because if I type in, you know, google.com, I'm actually trying to get to the site. So that, those are the different ways I think about it. The difference between true intent and favorite intent is, and I'm trying to stay under the time, but true intent is all the content you need to make in order to actually appeal to the topic. That's like that whole Megillah, the whole content inventory you need to attack it. Google's favorite intent is derived from, you know, analyzing those search results.
And you guys do that pretty well, I think, right?
I do both.
Okay, good. So when we come back, I want to touch a little bit on natural language before we finish out.
Awesome.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, Hi, this is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Wise Content Creates Wealth podcast with my guest, Jeff Coyle from Market Muse. Now, when I sometimes I want to say howdy on this podcast, but that's on my other podcast, The Gateway to the Smokies. And howdy could be what you might call my natural language. But we're going to be talking about natural language generation and content marketing for a few minutes. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to touch on it because I think Market Muse is doing it well. So what are the practical uses of natural language generation?
So, you know, just getting into kind of, not to get into too much about definitionally what it is, really with what we want to do, you know, what natural language generation is, providing a language model that can produce text. You know, it can produce text, and what it's doing is it's basically predicting the next next word probabilistically. So it's saying, like, based on this model, I'm writing the next word. I'm simplifying this, obviously, but you can even get things where it's predicting the next letter, predicting the next character, keystroke, pen swipe, you know, and your brain will explode because that's actually, you know, where some of these things lie. Practical uses, though, is really, you know, I feel where the market is now, one of the biggest practical uses is inspirational content and ways to get to at least a draft level so that your editors are kind of seeing the first versions of text instead of them being, you know, and these are the subject matter experts that then can add their color, add their expertise to it, make sure it fits to particular standards and structures. And in many cases, that's something that's extremely practical. Functionally, you use it every day. You know, Google Smart Compose is a function of natural language generation. That's where you're in Gmail and it writes the end of your sentence. That's an application. You see it in question answering very frequently. You see it in question answering solutions. You see it in, summarization is another use case. So taking content and trying to pull out a bulleted list that gives you a walkthrough, looking at a page. There's actually two types of summarization, abstractive summarization and extractive. Extractive takes from the text to try to summarize. Abstractive tries to write an abstract, right? And so there's all those use cases. Right now, the biggest, most exciting one is actually producing inspirational kind of first draft capabilities. And it's why we named our product Market Muse First Draft. Right. And the two leading solutions in the market would be Market Muse First Draft and then OpenAI, which is a major provider of a solution that you might have heard referenced called GPT-3. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of businesses that have language models.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are doing, yeah.
But I mean, Google's a great example. They have an even more powerful language model. It's not being released like OpenAI released it, that's for sure. But their brain team or their one of their teams that focuses on this, the language modeling, they have an even more powerful model, a solution very similar to ours. Also, you know, Microsoft is the exclusive reseller for OpenAI. So, you know, we joke around internally that we're in a market where the three leading products are us, Microsoft, and Google.
That's why you're releasing a free version.
And so, yeah, I would love nothing more than to improve our modeling so that you could actually be in an editor view and be inspired enough to write quicker. I am not a great writer. It's very fun and paradoxical. I built a brief and built myself a first draft. And by the way, if I didn't have this, I just wouldn't write at all. Right. Yeah. And in 4 hours, I was able to knock out a 3,000 word article, which for me was like groundbreaking, but it was just on the money, performing amazingly for the purposes I was not gonna. And I was like, oh, wow, we're there. Okay.
You know, I can write well, but here's the thing is I'm not great with the blank canvas, right?
Right.
And I like, so I'm excited to try this out. Do you think it does well long form content?
Absolutely. And that's really our differentiator. And we have an article on our site called, and I can leave it for you for show notes or whatever, but GPT-3 versus Market Muse First Draft. And one of those big things is that we are able to keep that memory and context and infer that context and keep the context going throughout the whole piece. But the key is, like, your human brain's broken, right? We judge, we look at content, and our natural proclivity is to go, yay, good, no, bad. But then over time, you kind of learn that, hey, this is Play-Doh that I've got to turn into something good. And if it makes my life easier or faster, it's good. And so the first time you saw natural language generated content, you judged it and you went, that's terrible. I mean, it's everyone does it, right? It's just the way your brain's hardwired. But then it's the people that are realizing these are ways of getting building blocks. And then you also have the other wing of the world who's going to take that and try to publish it without touching it or by just tweaking it. And they're going to run into a different set of problems. I'll let those people go play over there. I'm not doing that, right? But it's the same thing as the first time you asked Siri or your Amazon Echo a question and it didn't get it right. Now it's getting it right more often. And that's basically the world we live in, and it's accelerating at a dramatic pace. But yeah, we can write long form content and hope to knock it out. And you know, the world we typically live in is a company will know they have to write 20 articles, but realistically resourcing, they're only able to get two or three out the door. My dream is to get them to be able to put all 20 out this month and have them all be equal to or better than the content quality that they were doing manually before. Well, and if I can do that, I got it.
My personal goal is to actually now start producing more content because I have it, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of the knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So I, my personal goal now, and I'm going to use your tool to try it out, is to get, one long form article a week, right? That's going to be something I'm going to work to see if you guys can help me out with that.
So, Joseph, I got your trick, though. The trick is this conversation, because that's the only way I do it is I work with my writers and we record interviews and me talking about stuff because I can talk.
I got fireflies on this and they're recording this and
I can talk all day, but I can't write. I can't write all day.
we have to close up here. You want to any shout outs to your website, where to get hold of you, find out more, that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. So Jeffrey_Coyle on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. Jeff@marketmuse.com is my email. We have our site, marketmuse.com, and the blog. We have a content strategy crash course, and it's free. Go check it out. It's like a walkthrough. Especially if you're just starting out or you feel like content's not for you, go walk through that, and it will be inspirational. That our content strategist, we eat our own dog food. We write content all the time that's really high quality and really tells the story about all these workflows. So go check that out. Start with the crash course and then walk backwards. And like you've mentioned, we have a trial. We have self-service offerings. You can go buy it right online. Or if you are a business and you need something more custom or for a team, we have premium offerings that, can get you to, some large publishers that we work with have, get 2,000 briefs a month. It's like basically like they have a artifact for every article they publish. It's really changing the game for them.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you were here this week, and I look forward to seeing more about Market Muse. And I might even do at one point I'm gonna start doing online demos for YouTube. So
awesome.
If my ambitions meet my thoughts. But anyway, I want to mention we're on the talkradio.nyc network. Stick around to listen to other podcasts. There's one that follows this called The Entrepreneurial Web by Jeremiah Fox. I have a podcast on the network called Gateway to the Smokies. This podcast, you can find more about us on wisecontentcreateswealth.com. You can also see the Zoom live on facebook.com/wisecontentcreateswealth every Friday from 1 until 2 p.m. And we are doing a series now where we're investigating a lot of actual AI tools. So I look forward to seeing you next week where we have another wonderful tool to investigate. And again, this has been Wise Content Creates Wealth Podcast with Jeff Coyle. Bye.
Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.